Welcome back to Section. My name is Siddharth. I go by Sid, and this is week 8. Hope Project 2 went well. That was due today at noon. With this, we get started on Project 3, which is the Google Mashup project. So I don't know how many of you have read the specs. Have any of you read the specs yet? Oh, wow. Awesome. But the good thing about this project is this is very close to how real life works, in that you don't have a set of tools that you have to, you just have an API that you have to read yourself and try to figure out how the API works, and then use it to make something of your own. And this is how a lot of libraries work, JavaScript libraries, PHP libraries, and this should give you a really good idea of how to go about finding information that exists on the internet and how to use it in your own code. So let's just take a look at the... So the project is basically, you have Google News feeds, which give you XML files that you can read and parse to extract information that is news from different cities and generate on any given Google map, when you scroll over, generate the 5 most populated cities and attach them to the news stories that you retrieve from the Google News. I'm sure everybody here has been on Google Maps. It's kind of amazing what they can do. Dunster Street is, for instance, where I live. And there's not much. You click here, it gives you an address, it gives you a bunch of links, and all of that. So there are two parts to this. One is we give you a CSV file of cities, of a bunch of cities and provinces, states, whatever. A bunch of places, basically, with name and some other attributes. And the first part of this project is to take that file, parse it, extract information from it, and store it in a database. That is the first step of this project. Surprisingly, we're going to write with a script, which is great, because so far we've written .php pages. So we've created index.php, database.php, whatever you wanted to create. But now we'll start writing scripts in that you won't actually specify that it is a PHP file, but instead run it from the command line and have it do whatever you want it to do. In this case, read the CSV file and store it in the database. So for this, for the first time, you have to SSH to, I'm not sure if you're, let me just run through SSHing once more in case. This is how you submit projects. You SSH to your username at your domain.com, .tld, enter your password, and you have a bunch of folders. So let me just go to the public_HTML file. Here you would have created a separate folder for project 3, just like you have for project 1 and 2, in which I'm gonna change directory to today's scripts. And here you will have something of this form. You will have files that are basically don't have a PHP extension, so it's basically just the file name. And on executing this file, you have it do whatever you want it to do. For instance, scale, let's begin with a basic example, which is .ohiworld. So the dot in any Linux or Unix command line is the current directory. So I'm saying from the current directory, grab this file and run it. So ohiworld, I hit OK, and it displays ohiworld. Not much to do, but it's kind of cool because you don't have to open a browser, go on a page, and have it tell you something. You can just spit out whatever you want to write here. Let's take a look at how this works. The second part should be familiar. Let me just put out PHP here, just in case. It's always better to use the long tags because several people have had trouble with XAMPP and MAMP when they use short tags. But here, the second line is pretty simple. This is basic PHP, right? So it says PHP, the open and close tags for PHP, and it says echo OI world. This is something we've seen. Echo is the usual function. To be anal about things, I'm going to put in that semicolon there. But the first line is the interesting part. So in a browser, when you open a PHP file with the browser, how does it know to interpret the PHP? What do we give it to tell it that this page is PHP and you have to read it? How do we tell a browser that any given page is a PHP page instead of just HTML? I'm sorry? Well, that is within the PHP page itself, right? Yeah, so the file extension is .php. So when the browser opens a page and it says, oh, this is a PHP page, because it has the extension .php, so I'm going to parse any PHP by the rules that have been given to me and read it. So this accomplishes exactly that. This is the shebang operator, so it's pound exclamation. And this line of code is in the specs, and all you have to do is grab it, insert it in a file, do any PHP you want to do, and it'll work. The one thing about this is no more are we reading this page, we are executing it. So you have to, instead of chmodding 600 or 644, whatever you do, you give it the execution, you allow the user to execute it as well. So here it's going to be 700. Oh, hi world. And take a look, I run 755 usually, so all of it is 755. Questions about this? Why do we want to chmod 700? Because the shebang, the first line of code.
Yeah.
So the first line of code, like I said, is just to let the shell know that this is a PHP file, and that it has to like use the rules of PHP to do whatever you have asked it to do. In a browser, we tell the browser by using the .php extension. But here, since we don't have a .php extension, we just give it that part. Right. So what is this for? The specs ask that given that CSV file of a huge number of places, I think 40,000 places, you read each line in the CSV file and grab information from it and insert it into a database. So you have a table called cities, whatever, I'm not sure what it's called, but you basically have to store information from that file in there. How do we use this? We try to find, when you have a map, we have to know which are the five most populated cities in the map, in the area, right? And then for those five cities, we're going to grab information from Google News and display values. The script here is to read a CSV file and insert it into it. Yep. A couple more examples. So the first one is going to be just reading a CSV file. This code, in fact, is exactly what I did the first time we were trying to use fgetcsv. I literally copied the code. I changed the last part here from a break to a slash n. We open a file. So the handler here is some students.csv. We'll see what it is in a second. It's only in read mode, so that's why the second argument of fopen is r. And then we say while some variable data equals fgetcsv of that handle. So we basically read a line delimited by the comma, which is what this part right here does. That part right there does. While that exists, so until I've not reached the end of the file, I'm going to extract information from that place. Pretty much the same exact code I had. I literally just copied and pasted it here. But now I don't have .php, so I'm going to add this line of code up top. And now when we run... it's important to remember this. I keep forgetting. It's dot slash read CSV. The name of your file should be import ./ read CSV, and it says students did whatever. Let's take a look at students.csv just to... I have it open here. So this is the same file that I used last time. Name, age, school, and what we study. Four lines here, and then I parse it. I parse it in my right here, so I'm echoing a string that contains those four values. And when I run this script, it says it spits out exactly that. Questions. I'm sorry?
The 1,000 in the script, if you go in the script.
The 1,000. Oh, so what is the 1,000 in fgetcsv? So that is a maximum length of the line you want. So I'm going to tell it that any given line is going to be a maximum of 1,000 characters. So if it does not, if it either delimits by comma or it delimits by that value. So it's like either way. And I'm going to say arbitrarily that not arbitrarily, I guess with some reason that no part is ever going to be greater than 1,000 characters. Questions about this one? Great. The next one's going to be exactly what you have to do. So all you have to do is adapt it accordingly. So far with MySQL, we've had a common.php, a constant.php. In constant.php, we stored the database name, the database username, password, whatever. And in common.php, we set up the basic connection protocol for, we opened a connection to the database and selected the database from our server. And here, I just decided to use it all on the same page, and I said, I've done exactly that. I've defined the database name. I've defined the database name, the database username, the database password, the database server, which is localhost again. Here in the panel, we have MySQL management. So I went on to MySQL management and created a table called, my username underscore stud, which stands for students. And it does not allow file names of greater than 16 characters. That's why I had to shorten it. But I set that up, and I on PHP MyAdmin, I created the table called students, and defined a bunch of fields. The fields are name, which is a variable character size of maximum 32, which makes sense. I'm not going to say I'm going to expect that no name is greater than 32. Although mine comes really close. Set up a bunch of attributes. Here, I didn't bother defining any constraints because I'm not worried about any unique, a primary key or any of that. Although you have to decide whether in your own schema that is required or not. I define an age, which is going to be integer, subject, and school. And this I did by literally creating a table and selecting a number of fields. So we've done SQL now. So if I want to insert into this, what is my command going to be? Insert into students. Students is the name of my table, so insert into students. Fields or straight. So if I'm going to insert all five or all four, I can just say insert into students, values, open parentheses, a bunch of arguments. And here, that is exactly what I did. So the first line of code, the first part, this part of the code is the same from the previous file. But here I'm also adding a, see if I can just move this over so that, okay, I guess it gives you what we need here. But I still print the value out, and then I say, this SQL query is basically insert into students values. The first one is the name, in the same order that I've defined here. So it's name, age, subject, school. So it's name, age, subject, school. Thing is, a lot of people emailed help at cs75 and have asked me about this. Do remember that while in SQL queries, all strings have to be in single quotes or double quotes. All strings have to be in quotes, and all numbers shouldn't. So if you define your field as an integer, and you give it quotes, it will not accept that value. And here, since my name, school, and subject are all strings, and this is an integer, I'm saying percent %d, no quotes around it. Sprintf, we've seen, it's basically a placeholder. It has a string. It creates placeholders and plugs in values from the arguments I give it. The arguments I give are my data variable, which I've retrieved from my CSV file. And then I actually execute the query with MySQL underscore query. Before I take questions, let me show you what this does. So in my browse, it says MySQL has returned an empty result set. So there are no values right now in that table. Let me go ahead and actually execute this. Read CSV DB. It prints it out, which I asked it to do, so that's good. And then I'm going to hit browse, and there we go. It just inserted the values that I had. Any questions about this? Right, so for this part of the project, you're going to be using essentially the same idea. Right, read from CSV, print it out. You just have to figure out which fields map to which values, and then insert those values in the same order as defined in your table. The second part is more fun. So let me just pull up the Google Maps API really quickly. This is the Google Maps API. So an API is an application programming interface, which basically, given that they've put in so much work into this map, into Google Maps, they have all this work done, which they allow you to street view, which is great. I really don't know how that works. I wonder if people actually walk around with cameras taking pictures with Google Maps, but it's amazing what they've done, and they give you the same, they let you access that power by letting you make it what you want it to, letting you make it do what you want it to do. So some basic features off the maps are, I'm going to do one Oxford Street, which is the sign center, and give me a bunch of values. So this is the one I want. And some of the features are this marker right here, and a little pop-up from the marker. In your own project, this will be somewhat similar to what you have to do, except that you will populate the map with markers for the 5 most populated cities. And on clicking those, this box right here will display not pictures, not the address, but the news feeds from Google News. So the markers are one of the more crucial aspects of this project, and in time you will figure out how to use them. So how do you start with the Google Maps API? Given any given API there, Google Maps, thankfully, is really well documented, so you can actually go up and read through it, read through the API with information about how to use different functions they have, what is the basic setup, how do you get set up, all of that. So today, what I'm going to do is literally take some of the examples from the Google Maps API and run through them with you to give you a basic idea of how it works. So the basic setup. So let's actually go on. I have a bunch of examples that I want to get through today. So let's go to the first one. This is the basic map, right? So this is a map you can drag and drop. You can't search for something. You can't do anything more. But let's take a look at view source. I'm going to actually copy this out, paste this in. I'm going to save this as map1.html. This is just HTML. There's no PHP here. I'm going to open up my secure file transfer client. And let me pull up my desktop map1. Let's see why. Okay, so excellent. So I'm going to go into public underscore HTML, drag this map1.html, and put it in there. Let me right-click it. Set the permissions right so that... great. So let's go on world. Actually, is that 644? It is. So slash map1.html. I'm going to hit enter. That didn't work for some reason. Let me go back and hit... Okay, there we go. So I'm going to set that as 644. And it says, this website needs a different Google Maps API key. So every given Google map is associated with an API key, so which Google creates based on your domain. So what do you have to do to set this right? Go on the Google Maps API and hit sign up for a Google Maps API key. You agree to the conditions they set forth and enter your domain and say generate. Oh, I guess it wants me to sign into my Gmail account. I think that is new. But let me just quickly. There we go. So I'm going to hit, I've agreed, read and agreed, ohiworld.com, hit generate API key. And right here for my JavaScript maps API example, it says place the key within the script tag when you load the API. I'm going to copy this code, line of code right here. I'm going to replace this. So this is a really long line of code that has some parameter, sensor equals false, and the key right here. So the key is what I want to replace. So actually, let me just pull up the key itself. So I'm going to copy this from this line, copy it, and wow, this is a long key. Paste it in. I'm going to copy it, drag and drop again. I'm going to hit overwrite. Let's go here. Let's hit refresh. And the map works. So this is something that you will be doing for your own map. Grab the basic... the other thing about APIs is when you're working with something that you don't know how it entirely works, because you're just grabbing some script, you're just requiring some script that Google gives you. In those cases, I find it easiest to grab the basic example, paste it in, and then work around the... write all my code in that example so you don't have to worry about how setting up works. And on my domain is this basic map that works. Questions about this one? Good. So let's run through the other examples that we have today. I'm going to strike through once again. I'm going to go on the next. Actually, let's take a look at the source for this one first. So this right here is your basic. Google calls it the Hello World of Google Maps. So it has the basic features of any HTML page: the doc type, the head. The title, and then there is a script that you include, a really long, complicated file name, which presumably Google uses to keep track of how many people are using them, etc. And then you have the script type equals JavaScript. We've seen this as we did for project 2. And some function here called initialize. So first let's just look at the HTML part and we'll come back to JavaScript. So it says body on load it calls this function. So this initialize is some sort of setup function that every time the body every time you load the page it calls that function. And on unload, so when you close it, it g-unloads it. So it's another function g-unload, which you don't see here, which means it is in that file somewhere. And then it creates this div called map canvas. There's nothing in the div, but we know that you can change things in the div using JavaScript. So presumably this div is where your map is going to be stored. Note that you don't actually see the code for the map when you view source, because that initialize function is apparently doing something that changes that div's HTML to store the map, to display the map. So the function initialize, the first line of this is if gbrowser is compatible. Basic English, what do you think it means? Yep, check to see if the browser can actually load the map. So if gbrowser is compatible, it's kind of funny. I don't see why they should have gbrowser here instead of just browser is compatible, but all their functions start with a g. So if gbrowser is compatible, we initialize some variable called map to new gmap2. So presumably this is where we're actually creating the map. How does this function work? We don't know, and we probably won't be able to find out. But all we have to do know is how it works and what it does, and just be able to use it by ourselves. So it says new create a new gmap2 right here. Gmap2 is some object, and that is a map. And where do you want to create it? In document.getElementById map canvas. So in this argument basically tells it where to create this map. So if you have another div named map canvas 1, you'd give it document.getElementById map canvas 1. And once it's done that, it says set center new glat long some values and then some number. So if you read through the documentation, you'll see that glat long takes any two values, so a latitude and a longitude, and gives you back this object glat long, which the functions which setCenter, for instance, uses this object to extract the values and set the map to that center. The third value right here is 13, which is basically the zoom level. So in Google Maps, you can zoom out. You can actually zoom out of the world and then back into the ground, and then they say no images available at this level. But 13 is the default, and it works really well. That's how the usual Google Maps are. So if you go in and enter some random address, that is the level we're seeing it at. And then some other function map that set UI to default. I really don't know what it does, but it exists in the example, so we're just going to use it. Questions about this? Great. Let's take a look at the second example. Okay, so we have markers here. This is important. We need markers in our own page, so we need to figure out how to use them and how to create them. Let's open the source. Let's take a look at... So the first part is fine. Once again, it's the same thing we did last time. It, again, starts with if gbrowser is compatible, so it creates a new map, sets the center, and as the comment says, it adds 10 markers to the map at random locations. So I'm going to hit refresh here, and the markers... position changes, keeps changing. So so remember that it doesn't change on that, but if I hit refresh, it changes. So in my code, let's close this. So you have some variable bounds, which you're setting to map.getPounds, another function off the API. So how do you find out about these? Read the API, Google around. I literally Google around, find map bounds, Google Maps, and somebody has probably got a tutorial on how this works. And a bunch of other variables, all of which are attributes of this bounds. So I first extract the object bounds from this map. What is map? Map is the variable that I created here. So I'm saying call the maps, the entire map object map, and then extract the bounds, which is another object from that map. And then from that object, I'm going to use these methods called get southwest, get northeast, obviously the locations of those variables, so which is my northeastmost point, which is my southwestmost point. store it in different variables, and then create, and then this is understandable. So it says long span is longitudinal span, how far across, longitudinal is that way. So how far across, so I want to take my northeast, find the longitude, find my southwest, find my longitude. So this is going to give me the bounds. I'm going to subtract the longitude of this one, the longitude of this one, and it's going to give me the longitudinal span. Similarly, I'm going to find the latitude span, so northeast, another, which is the object. So there's basically object after object that we get. So we have map as an object, so bounds is map.getBounds, give me bounds. The southwestmost point is given by bounds.getSouthwest, and the longitude of that value, which is the final number, so that is the only one we know the type of, it's a number, is given by northeast.longitude and gives me back two values. And using some basic arithmetic, what I do is I create a point of the type glat long. We've seen how glat long works. We gave it a latitude and then a longitude. And how do I generate that? I know that it has to be between this point and this point, right? So I'm going to take my latitude. I'm going to take my southwestmost latitude, so where this is, and then add the span to some random number here. Once I add it, it's going to be within that bound. So there's basically any map you want to do to randomly generate a given selection of points given a frame. And here we have the map object in JavaScript, which we get free when we use JavaScript. We use a random function which gives us random values, and we've created that point. Finally, we say map.addOverlay, new gmarker point. So what does gmarker do? It's another function, it's another object. It creates this, it's the object given a point, which is of type new glat long. So given a set of values of latitude and longitude, I create that object. And I use that object to create this point. This point I add overlay to my map, and that gives me a marker. Questions? Yep. So I want to generate 10 random points. So what is a map random for? I want to select 10 random points on my map. I know the bounds, so this is basically some arithmetic to start with this point, select a bunch of random points within this frame, and spit it out.
So if I keep refreshing.
Yeah.
Is it the range in Southwest where it's always found to, or do we need to use an obvious, like, how does it know, like, point E?
Well, so how do we know that it's within that frame? So here we're selecting, So let's say this is our map. We know this point. We know this point, right? So we know the lat long of. So I'm going to say L1, lat 1, long 1, lat 1, long 1. So I can lat 2, long 2. So if I subtract this from this, it's going to give me this span. I know I want to start here, and within this span, I want to select 10 random points. Similarly for this, so using both of these, I want to select 10 random points within this frame. So that's why the map.random and selecting like the longitude and the latitude at all. Yeah.
So we're getting the original longitude and latitude. We do that get thing. Is that
the original land lot?
Those numbers, the original, the lat long.
Oh, these values, you mean?
Yes.
These values? So this is like what this is another function of the Google Maps API that comes with the Google Maps API. So northeast is what I've defined here, right? So actually I can say map.bounds.getNortheast.longitude. That'll give me the longitude of the rightmost northeastmost point in my map. Does that answer your question? Oh, so that is the point of the API. That comes with Google Maps. That is the functionality of that. That's why that function exists. So that's going to give me this point right here, the rightmost point. And notice that this happens only once. That's why when I drag and drop it, when I do whatever I want, it doesn't change. It basically does it when the page is loaded. So it gives me that. It takes that value. So for your own projects, you will try to find this value. And then using these two, you will query your table of cities to find out the 5 most populated cities. And once you have that, we'll talk about the extracting news next week. You will extract news for those five cities and display them. Makes sense? Somebody else had a question? Okay, cool. Great. Okay, so next example. Font, strike true. Let's open the next one. Great, so it doesn't do much. It just opens up a map and says, hello world. This is also something we want to do because we want to be able to, let me close that. We want to be able to create pop-ups which would show up on click. We'll see how to do that in a second. But we basically want to use these info windows that will give us, that we can use to display our own news in. First part, this is the exact same. So by now you should be able to take a look. And the other thing is to remember that you don't have to know any of these. That is why the API exists. So anytime you want to create a map, go to the API, copy the example, paste it in, use it. But here it says open info window, some value, and then document.create text node something. So open info window obviously means open an info window. What do you need? So for any given window, for instance, what do you think are the two arguments that you want to give it? So notice that when I refresh it, it opens at the same place. So that's one thing we have to give it. We have to give it where to open it. And yeah, location in the message. So so here we say map.openInfoWindow. So I'm saying map.getCenter, which gives me what a point of what form? Points are of what kind? Glat long. So it gives me that. So I have to give it basically any glat long value. And then I want to say document.createTextNode. So this is basically JavaScript to say create some HTML which says hello world and give it to it. And it displays exactly that in the center of the page. So this is not very useful because we want to do this on receiving a click or on doing something. We don't want to always just open this HTML window. So I can close this and it closes, but I have to refresh it to get it back. So how does the closing work? Once again, part of their system, we don't have to worry about it. Questions? Okay. Let's take a look at the next one, map.animate. So I'm going to drag this. So this is one of the cool things. This is something that David was talking about a couple of lectures ago, how Google Maps, one of the reasons Google Maps are so successful is that you don't have to move through the map by clicking on an arrow. You don't have to say go right, and it will move the frame over. Which is, for the first time Google Maps came up with it, that you can drag and drop. This is something we do with Ajax, which we'll talk about next lecture and section. But I'm gonna move this around, move this, and then hit move. And it brings it back to some place. I'm gonna move this around a little more, and then I'm gonna hit move. It brings it back to the same place. So what do I want to do? I want to be able to move around, but basically bring them back to whichever page, which is what this button does. Let's take a look at the source. Let's first take a look at the HTML. Let's close that. So this part is still the same, right? So ID is map canvas, which we've not changed. We've defined the width and the height. But we do have a form here instead of just nothing. We have a form whose action is to pretty much do nothing, submit to yourself. That is the idea. And on submit, it says, call this function animate and return false. So it has to be a JavaScript function. This is something we've done. When you have a form and you hit submit, you want to call some JavaScript function that checks to make sure that your input was valid. In the same way here, it says on submit, call this function animate. And we have a button here. This is, again, basic HTML that we've seen. What does animate do? It says map.pan to new glat long two values. Pan to, once again, is a function. Exactly what it does, it takes the map and pans to wherever you want to go. Once again, a point is of the type new glat long, so I just create a new point on the spot. I could actually say create a variable point equals new glat long that, and then move it to that pan to point. But here it basically creates that point using new glat long and then moves the map to that place. Questions?
Instead of just like you have just two points right there, 37.45, can we use like a get variable in place of this?
Yes. You basically have to give it something off that form. So if you say, for instance, this is a contrived example, but if you say map.pan2, map.getCenter, it won't move. It'll just stay there, but it'll get the value and then move to that place, which is exactly where it is. So, yep.
Do you have return false on submit? You can explain that.
Okay, so why do we have a return false here? Here it actually does not do anything. So we actually, like, this does not really affect how we, but if we have some JavaScript which takes a look at this value to see what it returns and then uses that, might be of some use, but here it's that is just going to move the action regardless of what you return. So, and in fact, you don't even have to return any values there.
Is it common to see a hash for action?
Yes, it's very common to see a hash in this case, we don't want the form to actually submit anywhere. So, in fact, if you leave the action attribute out, I don't think it validates, but it'll basically do exactly that. It'll just submit to hash. So. You can have action equals quotes. So that will take this value and then submit to a different page and move you there. But here we don't need it. We just want a button that moves it. So somebody else had a question? Great. Yep.
So,
no problem.
With this animate, I mean, could we actually pass it to the object, the map object? I mean, it seems like everything's just sort of defined above.
Do we have to pass it the map object? Not here. Because here the map is a global object, right? Is map we've defined right here.
Right.
So
we could
pass it arguments. It's basic JavaScript. You can do anything you want to right there. You could actually say you could give it the coordinates where you want to go to that place, and then it'll move it to that place. Let's see. So let's take a look at. So far, what we've done is not really useful, because what we're basically saying is take the map, do whatever you want to do. And then we're giving it a list of things to do, create markers, display this, create a marker and display this, whatever. But what we really want to do is have the user interact with the map, right? So when the user clicks a marker, we want to display the news, for instance. This is established using events. So just as in JavaScript, we have the onClick event, which gives us an object that tells you whether the left mouse button was clicked or the right mouse button was clicked, all of that. The very same way, we have events here, and we add listeners. What does a listener do? Basically, listens to see if an event occurs, right? So you can say, add a listener such that check to see if something is being clicked. So you basically say, add listener. We'll take a look at the syntax, but the general idea is you add a listener who keeps listening in to see if a certain action has been done. And if that action has been done, do a bunch of activities, which I will define. I don't need the page info, but I do need source. The only other attribute here is div ID equals message. But here it says the first part is still GBrowser is compatible. Create the map, set the center. But here we're saying G event, once again Google Maps event, dot add listener. So exactly what I was talking about, add a listener who keeps checking in to see if an event has been done. And then map, click, which is some string, and then function, some function. What does this function do? It basically says you click the map, it's an alert. I'm going to click the map, and it says you click the map, I'm going to click it again, you click the map. So the idea is that it does it if and only if you click it. So that is the idea of a listener. If and only if the user clicks something, you want to do something else. How does this work? So add listener takes three arguments here, right? So based on what you see, what do you think these three arguments are? The three arguments given to. I'm sorry? Well, so here it's not really the latitude, longitude, the map itself. So the object map itself, and then the event, which is click, and the third one is. Right, a function. So this in computer science is called. I don't know if anybody has programmed in a functional language, like Lisp or PLT Scheme or any of those. But these are called lambda functions. Lambda simply because they're anonymous. So we say a lambda. It's just some name for any anonymous function. So the idea of these lambda functions are basically you're going to create this lambda function, write out the code for it. But you're never going to call it again. You basically want it to be a one-time thing. So you don't want to waste lines of code just writing out what that function does. And it says just create it once. Here, we actually define a new function called alert. You click the map. But notice that I cannot access this function from anywhere outside. So So I'm basically creating this anonymous function that basically does only this. The other way is to create a separate function, say function alert, and have it. In fact, here, we don't even need the function around the alert because the alert itself is a function. We could just say new map, click alert, you click the map. But in presuming we want to do other things when they click it, not just one single function, you want to say function, add this alert in that function, so the only line of code in this function is to click it. We're never going to call it outside, it's going to be only once. So here it says alert, you click the map, and it displays an alert. Questions? Cool. I think it's kind of interesting to see how you're passing a function as an argument to another function.
So basically,
the function can be anything you want it to be. The reason they have a div ID equals message is, in fact, the function could be document.getElementById.message.innerHTML. You change your HTML in there. We don't really, here we're not using it, but I'm guessing they want to use it, didn't. I'm just saying the function can do anything. It can use any of the objects.
So in this case, we don't use
the divide equals message. Yeah.
Could the function have an argument?
Could the function have an argument? Yes, it can. But the problem is, how are you going to give it this argument? If you have defined it above, you're probably going to be able to use it from that within that function. So you don't really need one. But you can. You can use arguments. Other questions? OK. Something a little more complicated, more complicated event. So it creates 5 markers here. So I'm going to click one of them. Oh, so it says number 1, this. 5 is message, so I'm going to try to figure out where the other ones are. So there's some secret. So this is the secret message. So basically, some complicated way of saying storing different pieces of the same text across 5 different markers on your map. Let's hit refresh and see how it does it. Oh, so it changes, and now, once again, I have to figure out where the 5 markers are. it's a little fun. You should try it. But let's go back to source. This is actually a really cute trick. I really like the way they've approached the problem as well. So first, they create this array, which is a message, and it says the 5 elements are, this is the secret message, right? So they've broken up into 5 words, 5? Yep, 5 words, and stored it in that array. And now we just have to figure out how to grab values from that array and display it. So let's take a look at the first function. It says create marker, lat long, and number. So the lat long has to be the latitude, has to be a point of the form new g lat long. So if you can say new g lat long 0, 0, I'm not sure where that is on the map, but it'll create a marker at that point if you pass it, if you call create marker on it. So the marker, you create a new g marker. Note that you've just created this, you've not actually added it. And you're saying marker.value equals number. So you're saying that has an attribute number. And then you're adding a listener to the event. So notice here that the event's arguments are mark, click, and some function. The second two are the same, but here it's different. Instead of giving it the map object, we're giving it the marker object. So we're saying if they click the marker, you want to do something, not if they click some other random point on the map. So you want to add a listener marker on the click, and the function says creates my HTML by basically concatenating a bunch of strings, and it opens so map.openInfoWindowHTML. So simply, in simple words, what do you want this to do? When you click the marker, you want it to display this. So when is this function going to be called? If and only if you click the marker. So once this function is called, it means the person has clicked. Therefore, I want to open this info window HTML. So open info window HTML needs a latitude longitude again and my HTML, which is any HTML that you want to give it. Do you understand how this works? How like the setup of this function is? Questions about this function? Yep.
There's var marker.
Mm-hmm.
Does it know its own lat long? I mean, I see they're passing lat long again.
Right.
Could you say marker dot my lat long?
I'm not sure I understand. No.
In the
app dot open in Window HTML.
Yep. Yep.
Pass it lat long.
Right.
I understand that. But
right.
I'm saying, does the var marker mm-hmm. its own lat
long? Yes, the marker. Okay, so why are we giving it? I see what you're saying. Why do you need a lat to launch? You could use it, but what? So if I want to click a marker and I want to open a window HTML on a different side, if I want to click it and I always want to display the image on, let's say, the rightmost corner of the so. So here you can actually just, you're right. You can actually say marker.getLatLong and it'll give you the marker. But since you've passed it, it's the same thing. So do you see how this function works? I'm gonna go over this again just in case. So you're basically creating a marker. So that is the first part here. Note that so far we've just created this object. We've not actually added it to the map. How we do that is using add overlay. We'll see if they do that, how they do that later. But we've actually not created, we've just like have this object marker, and we attach a listener to it. So every time somebody clicks that marker, it's gonna first on click, it's, so there's a listener there. So every time they click it, it's going to do that function which is defined here. And that function first sets up a variable myHTML. So it creates some myHTML and then opens that info window. And the final part, and most importantly, is to return the marker itself. So it's returning the marker object because so far we've not added it. So we have to use it somehow to create it. Now we... let's take a look at the code, and then it'll probably make a little more sense. But initialize the bounds. We initialize the we find the same just the way we did it there. The northeastmost point, the southwestmost point. And once I have that, I'm going to initialize lat long to some random value. I'm going to do this 5 times, so it's going to create 5 markers. But for each marker, it's going to first create some random value in that frame, and then and then it's going to add an overlay to the map using that create marker function. What does add overlay need? What object does add overlay need? Add overlay needs the marker itself. It needs it off the marker itself. It's exactly what we're doing here. So here we're saying variable marker equals new g marker. So you can actually say new g marker in here and give it some latitude longitude. But we also want to do other things. That's why it's a separate function. So here we create this new g marker, we return the same value. So it returns a marker, which is the point. And once it returns the marker, you can just use that return value and create a marker. Create marker gives us that, and then you can add that marker onto your map. Questions? I'm sorry. Okay, so why does my HTML give it this marker? So this is Google Maps, this is the API's way of attaching an info window to a marker.
My HTML
is just some string that you're creating.
But it's going to be different for info.
Which is exactly the point we want, right? Which is exactly what we want. So let's take a look at what they're doing here. So first we're saying variable I equals 0, I less than 5. So you're going to do this 5 times, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. First you're going to create this value, right? And then you're going to pass it that, right? And here you're going to say, take that value. So let's do it for the first case. Let's just do it for I equals 0. So it's going to give create marker, the latitude, longitude, some random values. And then it's going to give it 1, because I plus 1. I equals 0, so I plus 1 is 1. And then this marker takes that number, so it first sets that marker dot value to that number. And then it says, my HTML, so my HTML string here, somebody help me out with how the string looks. What is my HTML for the case I equals 0, therefore number equals 1? How does my HTML look? So first the bold tag, which is HTML. Right, so hash plus, what is the number here? So it's 1, so it's going to be 1. And then slash b slash marker, right? So far it makes sense. So far you see how the string has been created from there. And then message number minus 1. So this is an array. So just like in PHP, we're going to access that message. So message is that array. This is the secret message. So it's going to take, so here it's going to call message of 0. Message of 0 is this. right there we have the, this is the string that's going to be attached to every single marker. So when I click that marker, it's going to display that an info window HTML that contains this HTML. And in this manner, they have two. So actually, okay, so this might help you understand. So which marker was created first?
Number one.
So although it seems like it's in some bizarre order, it's just you will see that number one is always attached to the first element in your array. Number three is always attached to the third element in your array, and so on. Questions? Excellent. So I think I have one more example. Okay, so I basically clicked the map, and it gave me a G point value, and it gave me the zoom level. Let's open view source. So initializes the map, checks to see the browser is compatible, sets the center, and then adds a listener to the map, not to the marker. So last time it was to the marker, this time we just want anywhere the map is clicked. So we want to add a listener to the map, and click, and then a function that takes two arguments here, overlay and lat and longitude. And here it's going to say, if this value exists, create this HTML, right? And map.getZoom, whatever, it creates some text. We'll come back to what the text is in a second. And then open info window, that and that. So let's take a look at one of the other things about this example is that you also have these controls, which we didn't have previously, and that is done using these two lines of code. So here you can say on click of the map, it gives the overlay and the latitude and the longitude. So you basically want to create G point value is that. So this function right here basically takes a latitude and a longitude. So and any object of type new g lat long, and then converts it to pixels. So div pixel, which is some format they represent any longitude and latitude, and then they give you add zoom level map.getZoom. Map.getZoom basically gives us which level we zoom at. We've set up here, right here. So it's 13. So actually, let's take a look at this. I'm going to zoom in a little bit, and I'm going to click. It says zoom level 15. You can't see it, but I'm going to zoom out. Let's zoom out enough and then hit 10. So basically, the third argument is basically the zoom, which is what I'm trying to say here. So here it says, so this add listener actually takes the overlay of the map, which you know because it exists. It's an existing value, and the lat long. So let's right. So and the latitude and the longitude of that value. And then you convert it into pixel form, and then once again you open an info window. Once again, when is this done? If and only if the map is clicked. If the map is clicked, it opens that info window, latitude, longitude, and displays that value. Yep.
What is overlay?
Overlay is the property of the map that we saw before. We said add overlay. Yeah, it is some kind of object that exists in the API. So, I'm sorry. So, like we said, I don't think we actually use the overlay value here at all. But in I don't think you'll use it in the project either. But basically, I believe overlay is that. So there's the basic map, and then overlay is that object which contains the markers and any other objects that you attach the map to.
So in this case, the overlay would be the
here, in fact, if you take a look at this code, I'm actually not sure why they have the argument at all. They need the only thing they need is the latitude and the longitude that we need because that is going
to
give us.
Well, yeah. It's the second argument.
Well, yes, but here I'm saying they don't use it although it exists.
What lat long is being passed?
So the lat long here that's being passed is the latitude longitude of that click. So when you click it. When you click it, like when we clicked it in JavaScript, when we clicked it, it gave us whether it's the left click or the right click. When you click it, it that point, any given point where you click, has that property. It has that property lat long. That at that lat long, you want to create the marker. That's why it opens the marker where you click it. Yeah, it also has the, I mean, the map, so basically the map has these properties. Basically the click attaches itself to these properties off the map based on where you click it. All right, so that is all for this section. Next section we'll be doing some Ajax, a little more of the second part of the project, and hopefully doing a little more of Google Maps. Have a great week, and I'll see you next Monday.